Okay, we're starting here on the top of Nun Bet Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the discussion of the mechitza that needs to be put in place because in the future, based on the psukim in Zechariah, there's going to be a large hesped, a eulogy. And in the eulogy it says that the mishpachat Beit David, the Vad, Unishehem Levad, that the men and the women are separate, even in the instance or the occurrence of a hesped, a eulogy. And therefore, Kal v'chomer, b'makom talut rosh, b'makom simcha, certainly we have to separate between the men and the women. The Gemara discussed what the eulogy was for. They gave two opinions. One opinion that was for Mashiach ben Yosef, and the other opinion was that it was for the Yetzer Hara. Now the Gemara continues along those lines, discussing the two opinions as to the reason for the hesped over here. It says, b'shmama d'man d'amar ha-Mashiach ben Yosef sh'neherag. According to the one it makes that says that it was the eulogy for Mashiach ben Yosef, then in the continuation of the pasuk it makes sense. They should dakru v'safdu alav mispeid al hayachid. V'bitu elai, it's a sure dakru. They'll see this corpse that was killed in front of them. V'safdu alav kimispeid al hayachid, and they'll eulogize over it like the pain over a youngster or only child that was killed. That's how great the pain will be over the death here. So then the remaining psukim there in context makes sense because it's talking about a real hesbed. Because of the killing of Mashiach ben Yosef, that death is what causes the hesbed to take place. Of the manda mara yitzara shenerag, according to the one who says that it's a yitzara, ha hesbeda by the meivad, simcha by the meivad. What do you have any eulogy over the death of the Itzara? You should be having a celebration. My bachu. And why are they crying? Seems to be the wrong reaction to the death of the Itzara. Kedidorosh, Rabbi Yehuda, Latidavo mi vio HaKodesh Baruch Hu leYitzara, v'shochato b'fnei tzadikim u'fnei rishayim. In the future, Hashem will bring the Itzara and shecht him before the tzadikim and the rishayim. Tzadikim nidme lehem kehar gevoa. To the tzadikim, he looked like a giant mountain. Urishaim nidmalahem kechuta seara. And for the Rishaim, it looked like a hair's breadth. Lalu bochim, valalu bochim. Both groups are crying. Tzadikim bochim vamrim. Tzadikim are crying and saying, Heich yechonu lichbosh har gavoa kazeh. How were we ever able or capable of overcoming such a great mountain? Urishaim bochim, and the Rishaim cry vamrim, Heich lo yechonu lichbosh et chuta seara zeh. How is it possible that we could not overcome this hair's breadth? V'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu tamai mahem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well is in awe. Shenemar ko amar Hashem Tzvakot. Ki palei be'enei sherit ha'am hazeh be'yamim ahem. Gam be'enei yipalei. So the sherit ha'am will be wondrous that they survived and they were left over until atid avo. Gam be'enei yipalei. And so too in my own eyes, it'll be wondrous that there is a sherit ha'am, that there's anybody left from the battle with the Yetzer Hara. So now, the fact that the tzaddikim here are crying over the Yetzer Hara, question is, why are they crying over the death of the Yetzer Hara? They should be happy. Number one is, they succeeded. They were able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And number two is, once the Yetzer Hara is gone, then the challenge is gone. Rashi says over here they're going to be crying because they remember the battles. Remember all the scars and the battles with the Yetzer Hara. And so those memories are what caused them to cry over here. The Marsha, on the other hand, suggests that the crying here is really a crying of joy, tears of joy, although from the context of the Gemara it does not exactly sound like that, that it is crying or tears of joy. The other possibility of explaining this is that the recognition that the difficulty of overcoming the Yetzer Hara is what led them to have their stature and their reward. Once the Yetzer Hara is gone, there's no more opportunity for earning reward and for attaining Olam Haba. So the death of the Yetzer Hara is the end of the possibility of earning. And so the tzaddikim are crying and saying, yes, it's a tremendous mountain, but we conquered the mountain and that's why we are tzaddikim. But now that the Yetzer Hara is gone, there's no more opportunity, yeah, challenge to grow anymore. And that's what the disappointment, or that's what the crying is about. Amar Rav Asi, Yitzhara b'tchila domeh b'chut shel buchya. So the Yitzhara in the beginning seems like the thread, whether it's buchya or kuchya. Buchya would be like the thread of a shuttle, or kuchya would be the thread of a spider or a spider's web. But the sof domeh kavutot agala. In the end, it's like the cords or the ropes of the wagon. So in the beginning, it's a very thin thread. In the end, it becomes like a very thick rope, which is how you attach or hook up the cow to the plow. Shnemar, hoy moshche ha'avon b'chavle hashav u'ka'avot agala chata. Here the description is twice. One is b'chavle hashav, which is a chevel, which is like a string or thread. B'chavot agala chata. And it's also similar to the ropes, or the thick ropes of the agala. Which one is it? So it's both. In the beginning, it's just a thin thread. In the end, it becomes a very thick rope. So in the beginning of its attack, that it's trying to seduce the individual, it makes small moves. It does little things. And in the end, it becomes much bigger, and it increases its attempts to seduce the individual. Now you could say that both in the way that it succeeds and the way that it fails. If he's successful, then he'll seduce or encourage the individual to do something small, and then as he goes along, it'll become bigger and bigger. Or it could be in his failure. If at first he doesn't succeed, he will just giving a little temptation, then as you fight off the Yetzirah, the temptation will become greater and greater. He will try to seduce you with greater temptation. Tan Rabbanan, Shiach ben David, Shatit Nehigalot, Bimheira Biyameinu. Nice little tefillah there. So Mashiach ben David, who hopefully will be revealed speedily in our times, ask me for something and I'll give it to you. Shinemar Sapra El Chok. Hashem says that you are my son. Ani Hayom Yeladticha. Sha'almi many Vetna Goim Nachalatecha. Ask me whatever you want, and I will give you the Goim Nachalatecha. Any of the nations will be your inheritance. The cave in Shirah Mashiach ben Yosef Shinarag. So once he saw that Mashiach Yosef was killed, Omer lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, I know what I want. Eini mevakesh michayel chayim. I want life. I want the eternal life. I don't want to die. Omer lo chayim. Ad shelo amart kvar hitnaveh alecha David avicha. Before you asked for life, David HaMelech already had a nevuah about you. Shenamar chayim shal mimcha natata lo. He requested life, and you gave it to him. You granted it to him. Darash. Rabbi Avira v'itema Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Shiva Shemot Yesh lo Yetzahara. There's seven names for the Yetzahara. Kadosh Baruch Hu Karao Ra. Shem called him the evil one. Shenamar ki Yetzah Lev Adam Ra Minu Urav. In the day of Noach, when Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's not going to bring the Mabul anymore, he's not going to destroy man anymore, because Yetzah Lev Adam Ra Minu Urav, it's evil from his youth. Moshe Karao Arel. Moshe calls him the uncircumcised one, Shinemar, Umaltem et Orlot Levavchem. And you should circumcise your uncircumcised hearts, which is bad that they're gonna do. You have to circumcise them to bring them to do good. David Kura Otame called it the defiled one, Shinemar, Lev Tahor Birali Elukim. Shem created me with a pure heart, and the Tuma is the Yetzirah. Well, Dikatame implies that there could be a Lev Tame. What does it mean there's a Lev Tame? That's when the Yetzirah gets the better of you. Shlomo Karao Sone. Shlomo calls him the hated one, the enemy. Shinemar, Imra Ev Tonacha Hachileyu Lochem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Vimtamei Ashkeu Maim. If he's thirsty, give him water. Ki gichalim atachute arosho, Hashem yishalem lach, because you will stoke the coals on his head, and Hashem will pay you back. Al tikra yishalem lach, so don't say that he's gonna pay you back, but rather yashlimenu licha, that he will make him at peace with you, so that your yetzer hara will be at peace with you and won't attack you anymore. If you feed it and you take care of it, then it won't have any reason to be upset at you anymore. Shayu karo michshol. Shayu said that it was a stumbling block. Shemar solu solu panu derech harimu michshol miderech hami. This is the Haftorah for Yom HaKippurim. Pave the way, clear the way. Harimu michshol miderech hami. Move away the stumbling blocks for my nation to come forward to do tshuva. Cheskel karo evan. Cheskel called it a stone. Shemar. Asiroti et leva evan mi b'sachem. I'm going to take away that stone heart from you. V'natati lachem lev basar. And I will now give you a heart of flesh. That is from the Haftorah that we read this past week, Parshat Parah. Yoel karo tzfuni. Tzafun, from like tzafun in the Haggadah, means the hidden one. Shemar. Et tzfuni Archik me'alechem. I will distance either the northern ones or the hidden ones from you. Tana banan. So now the Gemara goes back and discusses the pasuk in Yod. It's funny. Archik me'alechem. Ze yitzara shitzafun vomed bilibo shel adam. This is the yitzara which is hidden and sits inside the heart of an individual. V'idachtiv el eretz Yahu shmama. I sent him away, pushed him away to a desolate and destroyed land. Makom shein b'nei adam mitzuim lihitgarot b'em, in a place where there's no human beings that he can bother or tempt. Fanav el hayam hakadmoni, that he faced towards the eastern ocean or eastern water. Shenatan einav b'migdash rishon, the Yetzirah put his eye on the first Beit HaMikdash. So the kadmoni here, kadmoni or kedem usually means east. So kadmoni also means east because it's the first. That's where the sun rises, so that's why it's kedem. So here they say that's referring to the Mikdash Rishon. Vechrivo. He destroyed it. Varag Tamidei Chachamim Shebo. And he killed all the Tamidei Chachamim who were there at the time. Sofo El Yam Acharon. In the end, he'll be by the Yam Acharon, which refers to the west. Acharon, or Yam Acharon, is the Mediterranean. But Yam Acharon is because that's where the sun sets. That's where the last part of the sunlight is during the day. So Acharon here will be both meaning west and also meaning the latter one, which is Shnatan Enavi Mikdash Sheni. That he put his eye on Mikdash Sheni v'echrivo, and again destroyed it. V'arag Tamidei Chachamim Shebo, and killed all the Tamidei Chachamim that were extant at the time. V'ala basho v'ta'al tzachanato. So that his rottenness went up because he shemeniach umoto olam umitgare b'tzoneim shel Yisrael, chose to go after Bnei Yisrael and not after the rest of the umoto olam. He leaves alone all those that he really should be toying with. And he put all his focus on those that were Sonem Shel Yisrael, which is a Shon Sugi Noor, but rather the Bnei Yisrael themselves. And the Darshan that from the word Allah, that refers to the Oleh. He goes up to those that are higher up, to those that are amongst Bnei Yisrael. Dil Asot, he does great deeds. Amar Abayi, Tamid HaChachamim, Yoter Mikulam. Against the Tamid HaChachamim more than anyone else. Meaning that his attacks, or his attempts of seduction, temptation, are against the Tamidei Chachamim much greater than anyone else. So the two points he's making is one that Bnei Yisrael, who are the Am Segula, he has an unfair bias towards them in order to try to trip them up. And then even within Bnei Yisrael, those that are the Tamidei Chachamim, the greater amongst them, he makes even a greater attempt to cause them to stumble. And that's the famous line that we know, Kol HaGadol Michaviro Yitzro Gadol Emenu. Anyone who's greater than his friend, then his Yetzer is in a requisite way, even greater. And that's the story that we're about to say. Kihad Abaye, instance with Abaye, the Shame, Lahau Gavra, the Kamerlahi Itita. This man said to this woman, Nakdim, Venezel Barucha. Let's get up early and head out on our journey together. Amar Izel, Afreshinu Mi Isura. I'll do them a favor. I'll follow them and I'll stop them from getting into trouble. Because it's Yichud. Abaye says this. Because these two individuals are going to be Yichud. Why else would you get up early in the morning to travel alone with a woman, except for doing or committing an Aveira? So Abaye says, you know what? I'll get up early with them and I'll follow them to make sure nothing goes wrong. Azabatrayu tlata parse, bagmo. He followed behind them in the meadows, in the swamps, wherever they were walking for three parsa. When they were separating, they were departing from each other. Shaminu de kamre. They heard them saying to each other, Orchin Rikika, Bitzavtin Bissima. Rashi says it's talking about the future, or it could be talking about the past. Rashi says it's talking about the future. We have a long way to go, and our ways are different now. This is the joint path that we took, but now we're gonna part ways because we each have to go our own way. Bitzavtin Bissima, even though the company is pleasant, we have to split up now because it doesn't pay for either one of us to follow each other at this point in time. You could have said it the other way around, which was it was departing and saying, or chin rechika, we still have a way to go, v'tzavtim b'sima, or we've gone a long way, v'tzavtim b'sima, and the company was great, but now it's the time for us to split up. Amar Abaye, iman d'sani li hava, v'amatzil ukmei nafshei. If it was the one who has hated me, basically if I was in this position, and the one who hated me, the Yetzirah was with me, I would never have been able to survive this test. Being out there alone with this woman, and just letting her go. Azal tala nafshei bibura d'dasho. He went and he placed himself, whether it's in the door frame or by the locking mechanism of the door, umitzdayer, and he was in pain over this, that how come he would not have been able to overcome this, and this some pushy guy walks out there with a woman and just walks away with her, no temptation, nothing wrong. Ata husabo, so an elderly gentleman came, Tanale, and he reminded him of a teaching, whoever is greater than his friend, in a requisite manner, his yetzer is greater, and therefore, Abaye's challenge would be much greater than this pashut individual. Now, the fact that the yetzer is much greater for someone who is greater, and you could view this similar to some of the Rishonim who deal with Paro, that Hashem is machbid lev Paro, that Hashem hardens the heart of Paro, you have to have a requisite challenge. The person who is greater, then the simple temptations of the Yetzer Hara are not going to be a challenge for them. So in order to be on level with them and on par with them, the Yetzer Hara has to grow to match their tzidkut, to match their growth spiritually. And that's what it means their Yetzer is greater, because otherwise there'd be no challenge anymore, there'd be no ability for them to earn reward, because conquering the Yetzer no longer is a challenge. It's no longer an opportunity for them. So the Yetzer has to grow in order to match where they are. One possibility about why Yetzer Hara has to be greater for those individuals, for Talmid Chacham, those that are greater than their friends. The other possibility is that, as we've spoken before many times in Judaism, there's never any quality in an individual that's inherently evil. All qualities can be utilized for the good or for the bad. And that's true of the base instincts or desires that we have in the form of food, in the form of relations. All these things can be manifest in proper and good ways, and they can be manifest in evil ways. So we have the famous story that we saw back in Yoma, that when they suppressed the Yetzer for Arayot, there were no eggs laid in Eretz Yisrael that day. So there's good and bad in every character trait. And with the Kol HaGadol Michaviro Yetzro HaGadol HaMenu, that the growth of an individual, the success of an individual, for instance, a person in a position of leadership has grown and now they're a leader, their underlying character trait that allows a person to arise to be a leader and to be in front and to do good as a leader are the same character traits that could be manifest in an evil way. So yes, there's, we'll call it a certain amount of ga'ava that exists. The person has a confidence in order to be a leader. But that confidence can manifest itself in good leadership. It also can manifest itself in haughtiness or in inappropriate ga'ava. So what it means is, kol ha'gadol mechavro yotzro gadol emenu, is the same character traits that one had to develop in order to rise. Those same character traits can manifest themselves in terrible and evil ways. And if they're not managed, and if they're not kept within a framework, then they turn around and they become much worse. And so that's two possibilities of viewing what it means that kol ha'gadol mechavro yotzro gadol emenu, that it's an outcome. It's a pol yotze from the fact that they're great. Either way, either because they need a higher challenge and the Yetzer has to be there, or the nature of being greater presents them with a bigger challenge in managing those character traits that develop to be leaders, because it can be shifted very quickly to be something terrible or evil. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom. The Yetzer of an individual is strengthened or tries to overcome him each day in a stronger, more powerful way. Shneamar. Rak ra kol hayom, because they're just doing bad all day. All day meaning that getting worse. The rato gets worse each day. And Rav Shimon Lakish, Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom u'mevakesh la'amito. Not only does it get stronger, but it also wants to kill him. Shneamar, Sofer Rasha l'tzadik u'mevakesh la'amito. The Rasha looks to the tzadik and he wants to kill him. If Malei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows there lo, if it's not for the fact that Hashem helps him, Enu yacholo, he will not be able to overcome him. Shneamar, Hashem lo yazvenu biyado, v'lo yashienu bihishavto. Hashem lo yazvenu, Hashem won't leave the individual in the hands of the Yetzer Hara, v'lo yashienu bihishavto, and therefore he will not be brought to bed in judgment. So don't leave us, and don't allow evil to be judged upon us. So we ask for Hashem's help in this matter, that without Hashem's help, that one would not be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. What does it mean that without the help of Hashem, we would not be able to conquer the Yetzer Hara? That means that Hashem's expectations from us are to do our best. Rav Chaim Shalevitz writes this with regards to doing things. We should just make sure that we put in the full effort, the Shem Shemayim. If we put in the full effort, the Shem Shemayim, then Hashem picks up from there. When He picks up from there, the outcome or the results will be even greater than we ever thought. Because if a person works and assumes that the end is up to him, that the end game is up to him, and therefore whatever he does and whatever he maneuvers in his means to get there, that's what the end game will be, then a person's limited in scope. They're limited in scope because they can only be as good as what they think the end game is. But if a person wants to accomplish and the results will be even greater than they ever anticipated and greater than it could ever be, is that their job is to do what Hashem asks of them. If they do what Hashem asks of them, then they'll never know what the outcome is because Hashem will ensure that the outcome is there. He'll ensure that the end is there. And by doing so, the results will be even greater than you would have thought because then it's not bound by human element, then it's in Hashem's hands. So the same thing with fighting the Yetzirah. Hashem asks us to put in the full effort. If whatever you put in the full effort and you do what's asked of you, Hashem takes over, and again, miraculously, the fight will be greater. I mean, he'll be able to do more than you ever thought in terms of suppressing the Yetzer Hara, and you're rising to greater heights. But if you don't make an effort, you make a small effort, a little effort, then Hashem can't join in because you haven't put your full effort forward. So the idea of Hashem being a partner in overcoming the Yetzer Hara is that it takes it out of the realm of the finite. It makes an infinite that's both in the ability to grow spiritually, but also in the ability to overcome the challenges of the Yetzer Hara. So Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, mi paga b'cha menuval zeh. If this dirty one, this awful one, comes to attack you, the Yetzer Hara, mashcheu lebeit ha-midrash. Drag him to the Beit ha-midrash. Im even hu nimoach. If he is stone, he will melt. Im barzel hu mitpotzitz. And if it's metal, it will shatter. Im even hu nimoach. If it's a stone, it will melt, dissolve. Those that are thirsty, go to the water. So, here, mayim refers to Torah. So, those that are thirsty, go to water, go to Torah. It says, that the stones were worn down by the water. At the famous Agadah about Rabbi Akiva, how the water dripping was able to make an impact on the stone. That over a period of time, or a slow period of time, that even water can affect the stone. So here the stones are taken out by the mayim, meaning the Torah. Im barzel hu mitpotzitz. If it is metal, then it shatters. It explodes. Dichtiv. Halo, ko, divari. Keish ne'um Hashem, ukupatish yipotzitz sela. Isn't my word like the fire, says Hashem? Ukupatish yipotzitz sela. And like the hammer that splinters the stone. And here, there's a machloket Rashi and Tosafot as the meaning here. First of all, the mashal of Torah, the mashal here is that the Eish is the Torah, and the Eish, according to Rashi, is mifapeya et barzel. Fire causes metal to melt. So therefore, what is kapatish yifotzeitzela? When the hammer hits the stone, sparks shoot out. So those sparks that shoot out, those sparks or that fire will melt the metal. That's what Rashi explains it. Tosafot takes issue with Rashi here in a number of places in Shas about the explanation. Here it sounds like Ukpatish Yifotzeitz Sela. It sounds like the Yifotzeitz is that when the hammer hits the stone will shatter. That's usually the way you would look at it. You hit that hammer and then the stone shatters. Problem with that explanation is that the Gemara until this point was talking about the Barzel. It says that if it's metal, then the metal will shatter, not the stone. So here, Ukpatish Yifotzeitz Sela, it sounds like the stone shatters, not the hammer. So Tosafot in the end says, no, it's the case where you take the metallic hammer, you hit the stone, and instead of the stone breaking, the metal breaks. So he talks about Sanpirin, these stones, maybe even diamonds, that they were hitting, and when they hit it, instead of the stone breaking, the anvil broke, that it broke the metal, because the stone is so strong, it's the strength or integrity of the stone is so great, that even when you hit it, it breaks the metal instead of the stone breaking. So Tosafot sees it as the metal breaking when it hits the stone, even though it's written in the Pasuk backwards, it gives other evidence of that. It sounds like Patish Yifotzeitz Sela. You have to reach it because Upatish Yifotzeitz, the Patish is shattered, Sela, by the stone. So even though it's a little harder way to read it, Tosafot brings other places in Shas where it's used, including the instance where the Gemara says that Shivim Panim the Torah, that there's 70 ways to look at the Torah, and the Gemara brings this Pasuk of Kifatish Yifotzeitz Sela. That just like the patish is before sela. So again there, is it the sela that's shattering or is it the patish? Which one represents the Torah? Over here, it sounds like the patish is the yetzer hara. And when you smash it against the stone, it breaks. Over there, it sounds like the patish is the Torah. Torah is the hammer, and when you hit the stone, it shatters into 70 pieces, meaning that the explanations are many, or the lishonot, or 70 lishonot in which the Torah was given. So Tosafot tries to deal with the fact that it's not consistent always in the Gemara, but he does favor the explanation being that the patish, the hammer, is that thing that breaks and not the sela. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Yetzer Hara misito l'adam b'olam hazeh, umedil alav l'olam haba. It seduces him in this world takes him off track, and then it testifies against him in Olam Haba. Shneamar Mifaneik Minoar Avdo Vachrito Ye Manon. He pampers him in his youth. Vachrito Ye Manon. In the end, he'll be Manon. Shekein Baat Bach Shel Rabbi Chia Korim Lesada Manon. And the methodology of Atbach of Rabbi Chia, you call a Sada, a witness, is Manon. So Rashi explains how this works exactly. This Atbach in the units. Aleph through Tuf, in the units, you have to, every letter is exchanged with the letter that adds up to 10. So Aleph is exchanged with a Tet, because the two of them add up to 10. The Bet is exchanged with a Chet, because they add up to 10, or the reverse. If it's a Chet, it's exchanged with a Bet. Those are for the units. For the tens, it has to add up to 100. So therefore, the Kaf will be together with the Pei, the Lamed will be together with the Ayin, so because they add up to 100. Then, when you reach the hundreds, which is Kuf, Resh, Shin, and Tav, over there, Rashi says that the Kuf goes together with the Tzadi Sofit, the Resh goes together with the Pei Sofit, the Shin goes together with the Nun Sofit, and the Tav goes together with the Mem Sofit. Calls them the Alafim, the thousands, although it doesn't add up properly. I guess that they view the Tzadi Sofit, the Pei Sofit, the Nun Sofit, and the Mem Sofit as being hundreds and not tens. So Tzadi Sofit is worth 900, and a Pei Sofit is 800 together with the Resh, which is a 200. The Nun is going to have to be 700 together with the Shin, which is 300. And the Mem Sofit is going to have to be 600 together with the Tuf, which is 400. So they add up to 1,000. Those are exchanged. Now you have three letters then that have nothing, which is the Hey, the Nun, and the Chaf Sofit. Because those are the Hey is the middle letter, so there's no matching letter with it. There's a Nun, the middle of the tens, and then the Chaf Sofit is obviously the one that doesn't have a matchup in the hundreds. So therefore, they become a partnership. The Hey, Nun, and Chaf, they get put together, they're exchanged for each other. So if you do that, then the Mnon will be changed into Sahada, because the Mem, you would exchange with the Samach. The Nun gets exchanged with a Hey. The Vav gets exchanged with a Dalet. And the Nun Sofit, again, will be changed to a Hey. Again, even though Nun Sofit really goes with, together with the Shin, together with the Hey, the Nun and the Hey again, the exchange, so then you'll get Sahada. We have other methodologies that are used in terms of these gematrias of exchanging of letters based on patterns. You know, every seventh letter gets exchanged, Advash, the first with the last. They're all different methodologies of exchange that give an underlying or hidden meaning to a word. So that's what they're saying over here. This word Manon is exchanged for Sahada. That's the hidden meaning of it, and that means that the Yitzhara, he will pamper you when you're young, and then he'll be a witness against you when you are older at the end. Right. Ravuna Ramiktiv. Ravuna says that there's a stira on the psukim. It says, Ki ruach znunim hitav, ayiznu mitachat elohim. And it says, Lo yitnu ma'al elohim lashuv el elohim. Ki ruach znunim bikirbam. Bet Hashem lo yodohu. Uchtiv bikirbam. So it sounds like ruach znunim. There was a wind of znut, of impropriety. And it sounds like they were seduced from the outside. It's because it's tempting them from the outside. It's external. Yeah, the pasuk also says, Bikir Bam, it sounds like it's internal. So here is the Yitzhara, internal or is it external? So, Betchila, Hit'am, Ulusof, Bikir Bam. That in the beginning, external, but in the end, it becomes internal. So, Amar Rav, Betchila, Karo, Holich, Ulusof, Karo, Reach, Ulusof, Karo, Ish. That the Yitzhara makes progression. In the beginning, they call him walking, traveling. And the next they call him a guest. And the end they call him Ish, the owner. There's a progression here between being a passerby to being a guest, then to being the owner. Shenemar. Vayavo helich, the Ish he'ashir. So this passerby came to the wealthy individual. And he didn't want to take from his own flock to feed the guest. And then he decides to take or steal from the flock of the poor man in order to feed this individual come to him. So you see the progression from Helech to Oreach to Ish. So originally it's the person who's passing by he has to feed. Then it's the guest. And then he becomes the Balabait. So that's referring to the Yetzara. At first the Yetzara is there just passing by. He says, you know what, I don't want to take from my stuff to feed him. Then he calls him an Oreach and he says, you know, I can't deal with this guest. And then all of a sudden he's an Ish. And he stole from the poor person to give him food to feed the Ish. But you see the progression of the visitor being the Yetzara, being from someone who was before an outsider to being then the owner. He basically owns you. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ever katan yeshlu adam, marivo, sava, masbio ra'iv. there is this small organ in the individual that if you starve it, it is satisfied. If you satisfy it, it's hungry. The same thing said about money, that the more the person has, the more that they want. So the same thing is here is true with regards to the Eiver. Rashi explains it this way, which is, Eiver Katan is Viad Gid, is the member of the individual. Masbio b'tashmish. If a person satisfies it with relations, Ra'ev, then he's hungry. So Rashi says, Gufo chaser koach, that he loses strength. It diminishes the strength of the individual. Ra'ev ve'et zikna. And then as he gets older, he becomes hungrier, he loses strength. It takes away from the person's koach, from their strength. Sava bikoach shalem. And on the other hand, a person who starves him will be in full force and full koach. So Rashi sees the issue here being that the tashmish diminishes the strength of the individual. And at some point, you have to pay back that diminishment of strength. So if you satisfy it, then when you get older, that strength that you used up in satisfying that yetzer will pay you back when you're older, that you'll be weaker. On the other hand, if you starve it, meaning that you minimize the relations, then when you get older, you'll have reserves of strength that will help you out when you get older. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot says, Shemar bebe tashmish, mas biyom, doesn't mean relations, but it says excessive relations, which is bayomu balayla, during the day and at night. Because he brings the example from David HaMelech, because David HaMelech slept, took a nap during the day, and then he woke up at night, he was up at night. So when he was up at night, that's what led him to the sin with Bathsheba. And so he flipped around, Shafach Mishkavo Shalayla, Mishkavo Shalyom. Nita'al Memenu Alacha. It also happens with Ishboshet. He takes a nap during the day and he gets assassinated. So there's a danger in taking naps during the day. Kshemar Kimaritam Vaizbo. When things were bad for them, then they were satisfied, meaning that they had the strength to do what was right. But when things got good, then they forgot about Hashem and they didn't do what was right. There are four items that Hashem regrets having created them. Galut, Kazdim, Vishmaelim, Vietzara. Galut, exile, dichtiv. Vata malipo, nu Hashem, kilkacha michinam. Right, malipo, it's like a regret. What am I doing here that my nation was taken for no reason in the Galut? Kazdim, the Babylonians, dichtiv. In Eretz Kazdim, Zeham Lohaya. That land of the Kazdims, as if they weren't. What does it mean, as if they weren't? Hashem is as if he's saying, Halavai, had this nation not been around. Meaning that Hashem regrets having brought them about. Ishmaelim, Dichtiv, Shlayu Ohalim Lishodutim, Ubeduchot Magzekel, Asher Hevi Elo Abiyado. So they camp in the tents, they're stretched along in the tents, Lishodutim. They are marauders. They plunder those that are passerbys. Duchot magizegel, and they are certain to get God angry, that they bring their own gods in their hand. So these are individuals who, they are anti-Hashem, and therefore it's as if Hashem caused the pain for himself, because he's the one who created them. Now they're magizegel, causing this anger to him. Because I created the Yetzirah, that's why all this bad is happening. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Imalei Shlosh Mikrot Alalu Nitmotutu Raglayim Shel Shoneim Shel Yisrael. If it weren't for these three psukim, then the legs of Shoneim Shel Yisrael would buckle. Again, Lashon Sagi Nohor means that the legs of Yisrael would buckle. Chad Yichtiv Vashir Hariyoti. Chad Yichtiv Hinei Kechumer Biyad HaYotzer Kein Atem Biyadi Beit Yisrael. So that's like when the Kadosh Baruch Hu has control over the individual in order to trip them up, or the Yetzirah has that control. And therefore, it's not within their means or ability to get a hold of it. All of these psukim indicate that the Yetzirah is very powerful, and only with Hashem's assistance will we be able to overcome them. So that takes away a certain amount of our responsibility, because Hashem acknowledges that it's very difficult. Pasuk in Yechezkel, that you have a Leiva Evan that has to be replaced with Leiv Basar. A Leiv and Evan is pretty difficult to deal with. Vashar Rioti, Hashem regrets creating the Yetzirah, shows that the Yetzirah is just too powerful. And so that just like the material, the raw material of the craftsman is in his hands, so too you are in the hands of the Yetzirah. So therefore, again, we're molded by something greater than us. And therefore, again, we shouldn't be held responsible. Papa Amar Af Mehai Nami, even for this pasuk as well, Et ruchi etein bikir bechem, that my spirit I will put in you, Ve'asiti et asher bechukai teleichu mishpatai tishmeru v'asitem. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to put his ruach in you in order that you do the mitzvot and you do what is right. Vayareni Hashem arba charashim. And Hashem showed me four charashim. Ma nihu arba charashim. Who are the four charashim over here? Now charashim are usually woodworkers, carpenters, but over here they're going to use the charashim to mean leaders or talmidei chachamim. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon chasida, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, Ve'eliyahu b'kohen tzedek. That refers to Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, which were involved with, who will be the craftsmen that build the Bayit HaShlishi, Ve'eliyahu Navi, because Eliyahu Navi built the Mizbeach on Har Carmel. So he's a craftsman because he's the one who brought the stones and put together the Mizbeach. Kohen Tzedek here, Rashi says, refers to Shem ben Noach, which is the Midrash with Malki Tzedek, who is a Kohen, Tel Elyon. The Midrash says is Shem ben Noach. And he's called a Charash because Shem ben Noach helped his father build the Teva. So that's why they are called Charashim. Meiti Rav Sheshet. Yachi Anu Dichtiv. Rav Sheshet challenged him and said, wait, if that's what it means, Mayomer Alai, Ela HaKaranot, Asher Zeru at Yehuda. I mean, these horns that dispersed Yehuda. Ani Lushuva Atu. These individuals came to return Bnei Israel from the Galut, and over here it's talking about dispersing them. Samalei, Shafel, the Sefer Dekrag. But didn't look at the end of the pasuk. It says, Ve'avo Ela Lachrid Otam, Liadot et Garnot Agoim, and Osim Karen El Eretz Yehuda Lezaruta. So that these Charashim are going to come to place fear in those Garnot that were the cause for the dispersement of Bnei Israel. That Sofer Pasuk Kochiach proves, Shetchilato Einu Midaber B'Charashim Ela Be'umot. It's not talking about Charashim, but rather Be'umot. Shekesha'al HaNavi Et HaMalach Ma Ela Charashim. The Navi asked the Malach, what are these craftsmen? Amar Lo, Elu HaKranot. These are the horns. Klomar Umot HaLalu. Shezaru Et Yehuda. These are the nations who dispersed Yehuda. These charashim are coming to put back in place the karnot. The karnot don't refer to the four charashim, but the karnot refers to the latter half of the pasuk, which is the goyim that dispersed Klal Yisrael. And so these four charashim are going to come and put them back in place. Put these karnot back in place, the ones that dispersed Klal Yisrael. Why am I getting involved with Rav Chana in Agadato? Because Rav Chana was an expert in Agadato. And so Rav Sheshet, who had challenged him, in the end just says, why do I even challenge him? He knows so much better. He's a much better darshan than I am. And I tried to disprove his drasha, and then he took what I said and turned it against me. So why am I bothering? Because he's such an expert at being a doresh. Okay, Vayaz Shalom Shur, Ki Avo Be'artzenu, V'chi Droch Be'armenotenu, V'akeimonu Alav Shiv Aroim, U'shmona Nisichei Adam. There will be the peace of Ashur when they come into our land and they trample in our palaces. Kanu alav shiva roim, and we place on them seven shepherds, u'shmona nesichei adam, and eight princes. Maninu shiva roim, who are the seven roim? David be'emtza. David is in the middle. Adam sheitum tushelach miyimino. Adam sheitum tushelach on his right side. Avram Yaakov Moshe bismalo. Avram Yaakov Moshe are on his left side. So Adam, Sheit, and Metushelach are three individuals prior to Dora Mabul who are considered to be tzaddikim, Adam and son Sheit, prior to Dora Mabul before they go off the derech, which is Azuchal Likro B'Shem Hashem, that they start to worship Avodah Zarah. And then Metushelach, who lives a very long life, on his right side is Avram Yaakov U'Moshe. Obviously, who's missing here is Yitzchak. So then, Ma Ninu Shmona Nisichei Adam, who are the eight princes? Ishai, Shaul Ushmuel, Amos Utsvanya, then Chizkiyahu, it's either Tzidkiyahu or Chizkiyahu over here, makes more sense that it's Chizkiyahu, Umashiach, and Eliyahu. So those are the eight princes. All of them make sense. Amos and Tzvanya, Rashi just says that they're Mina Nevi'im, they're amongst the Nevi'im. Why Amos Utsvanya, he doesn't explain exactly. What Rashi does note over here, Lo Yadati Tam says, I don't know the reason why these individuals are picked. But I just want to point out to you that Yitzchak is missing here. And he says that Yitzchak is missing here, the Heichan Azal. Where did Yitzchak go? Latzil et banav midina shel Gehinom. Save his children from the din of Gehinom, ki yitiv ki ata avinu. That you are our father. That's the famous Agadoto that talks about the Avot. Hashem comes to Avot and says, your children have sinned. You know, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Abraham, nothing. Yaakov, nothing. Yitzchak shows up and says, listen, between you and me, I was in Akedah. I have a lot of zechuyot here. Look, a person half their life, they're not doing things that they can go wrong. They're sleeping, they're going to the bathroom, they can't do wrong. The other half of their life, even within that, they did good. I'll take half, you take half, and we'll be done. So Yitzchak comes down in the end and saves Klal Yisrael. And therefore, why he's absent here from this list is because he's busy taking care of all the Jews and protecting them. All right, Rabba, back now to the Mishnah. Tana Gvoah Shel Menorah Chamishim Ama. That the heights of these menorot were 50 amot high. Ve'arba'a yiladim shel pirchei kunah b'yadim kadei shel shemen shel 120 log. You had four youngsters that would climb up the ladders to take up the fuel with 120 log in them. Yibalu 120 log lekulu. Where it said 120 log between the four bowls on each candelabra. Or is it 120 log for each one? We have a brayta that says that each one of them was carrying up 30 log. Shem kulam me'avetzrim log. So here you have it spelled out that the me'avetzrim log is the total for all four of the bowls on each of the candelabras. Tana, v'hem mishubachim ayu yoter mibna shel marta bat baitus. These kohanim that were going up there were even better than the son of Marta bat baitus. We bumped into Marta bat baitus before because she basically bought the Kohuna Gadola for her husband. And she also has a son who is a Kohen Gadol, who has very large hands, is the big Chofen. So Amro al Banash al Marta bat Baitus, they said about her son, that he was so big, he was so strong, she no tell, shtei rechot shel shor, a Gadol, a large shore, he's able to carry two thighs. So the Kuach Melev Zuz, the shore was so big that it cost 11,000 Zuz, Malech Akev Bitzad Gudal. He walks with his heel to his toe. So usually when something's heavy, you run with it because you can't walk slowly. So here he is, he's walking slowly carrying these two things. His brethren, the Kohanim, did not allow him to do this. That's what we have laid out in Masechet Tamid, that the number of individuals that worked with the Korbanot, and by Ashur was Chavdalid Kohanim, was 24 Kohanim, we discussed this in Masechet Yoma, the division of labor. So they divided up like a Yerech, which is a large item, there were three Kohanim involved with it. So they didn't allow him to do it by himself, even though he was capable of doing it, because they wanted more people involved with the Korban. My Mishubachim, how were these youngsters better than the son of Marta bat Baitus? Ile Mishum Yukra, if you're talking about weight, Haini Yikire Tve, the two thighs of the Shor Gadol are heavier. Ela Hotam Kevesh Umaruba. So the difference is that when the Kohen Gadol, the son of Marta bat Baitus, was carrying them and walking, you know, his toe to heel, he was going up a ramp. A ramp that has a gradual incline and is a flat surface. It goes up an amah for every four amot of extension. Velo zakif, and it's not upright. Halcha sulamot. Here we're talking about ladders. Vizakif tuva. So they're vertical, almost vertical, and you're on a ladder where you don't have a lot of place, and they have to carry the item up. So you have to balance carrying it up. So that's what it means that they were better than him. They had more strength than him that they were able to do this. There was no courtyard in Yerushalayim that did not have light from this. A woman was able to do brira with chitim. She would take wheat kernels and separate out the good ones from the bad ones. I mean, that's a fine type of labor, and you need good light for that. From the light of Simchat Beit HaShoeva, she was able to do that. Those of the comments over here couldn't really be that way. So the Gemara asks the question, how could it be that she does that? You're getting hana from something that's kodesh. The oil was kodesh, and it was the mavlai. We saw before it was the worn down big day kahuna. So the Gemara over there says, from there you learn that there's no me'ilah by kol, mareh, and reyach. From sound, from appearance, and from reyach, from smells, there's no din of me'ilah. They don't have any substance to them, so therefore there's no me'ilah. Tosfot says, well, that's not a sufficient answer, because there the Gemara says there's no me'ilah, but isur ika. There's still an isur to benefit from them, even though there's no me'ilah. So in the end, he says that this is just derech mashal. In that they're not saying literally that women were being borer chitim to the light. It's just the expression of how light was it that even a woman could be borer chitim. Not literally that she was doing this, but it's a way to express the amount of light or the tremendous amount of light that was there. Okay, we'll stop over here.